What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Formula America podcast. We're your host, Curtin Dillon, and today we're going to discuss this weekend's Japanese Grand Prix. And a little spoiler alert, we'll save it till the end, but this weekend I think I had the shortest lived prediction in all of our 97 episodes.
Yeah, you did. It was perfect.
Oh, man. But what do you think about this weekend overall?
I thought it was kind of boring. It wasn't anything stellar. It wasn't the Suzuka that we kind of usually get. It had some great passing, but it just wasn't. I have a friend that texted me yesterday his race weekend summary, and I thought it summed everything up perfectly. It just said, order restored at the top. Looks like Ferrari keeping the wrong driver. Danny Ric on very thin ice. Stroll sucks again.
Hey.
And I thought
the episode.
That's it right there. I was like, that's the perfect sum up to this entire weekend. Like
that's it. Man. All right. So I'm kind of glad you said that because I was watching it and I was like, I feel like I should be more excited right now because they keep showing all this passing going on. And I'm like, there's a lot going on, but I felt like it was lacking substance. Maybe because our hopes were so high because it is Suzuka and there are like normally it's a super exciting race.
Yeah, I mean, we had the red flag out of the gate with Danny and Albon going into the wall, which it's one of those, like, it was such a light touch. It just blew the tire and threw them both off. But, I mean, it wasn't a hard hit. Most of those cars survived rubbing tires like that just fine. Danny was just super unlucky. But he was, like, doubly unlucky because that was not what Danny needed this weekend.
Right.
And so...
Yeah, so I think Danny kind of was on for a good weekend comparatively. Like he got out qualified by Yuki once again, but they were barely only separated. It was like 0.05 of a second.
Yeah.
Yuki made it to Q2, but it was still right there. So right where they belonged. So it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Or pretty close. And he was looking happy. He was like, seemed like he was upbeat and ready to go. And then bam, right out the gate. Like as soon as that happens to one of your favorite drivers, I feel like it puts a damper on the rest of the race for me.
It does. And so, I hated seeing Albon go out, you know, and you heard a lot of them talking, a lot of Williams saying they had a pretty fast car this weekend. They brought some upgrades. They kind of made it more like last year's car where not a lot of downforce and it's fast. Kind of the opposite of Mercedes where they have a lot of downforce and it's not fast. And so I was excited to see how they would do. And yeah, Albon went out and then Logan Sargeant did Logan Sargeant things. And that was kind of all she wrote for Williams. Like it's just kind of both of those things together. Like you lost Danny, you lost Williams pretty quickly. Order at the top was kind of doing what it did. It just didn't have a whole lot of holy crap. Like,
yeah.
But it was good. I thought it was a good race, good weekend. Kind of as my friend said, order restored at the top. Max Verstappen, 12.5 seconds clear of Sergio Perez, who was 7.5 seconds clear of Carlos Sainz. While there's been a ton of speculation, even by us, that maybe Ferrari can compete, I think that Red Bull kind of said, no, we're still on top. That's cute. Y'all are closer than you were last year, but
yeah,
you got a ways to go.
Let's go ahead and squash any kind of speculation you might have right now.
Yeah, but I thought Perez had an awesome weekend.
Perez did, man. Perez is doing exactly what he needs to do.
Yes.
But he also did that last year, and I think around race 4 or 5 is when the wheels started to fall off last year. So let's see if he can kind of keep that longevity. But I think they were talking about his mindset shift and how that's helped him out a lot, and I think we can see that. He knows he's not fighting for a championship. He knows that Max is not his... You know, it matches. I think somebody else said it best. They said he's looking at Max now as a benchmark more as his competition, where he's like, if I'm, you know, close to Max, I'm doing good. And I know.
And if he's close to Max and not making waves at the team, I'd keep him around. Like if he's able to keep this level, I mean, you're going to get to continue to probably enjoy a seat at Red Bull being the number two driver in the world championship and racing an awesome car, which I think, unfortunately, is probably the best he's going to get right now.
Yeah. And I think that he should be more than happy with that.
Yeah, I agree.
Perez is doing well.
But yeah, so let's we can get into it now because of the entertainment value. What happened with Logie Bear and your prediction?
Oh my God. All right. So I don't know what I was thinking. And when we stopped recording last time, and you know, so everybody knows, my prediction, my wild card prediction for this weekend was that Logan Sargeant was going to have a flawless weekend. And I doubled down and said he was going to make it through all three practice sessions, quali and the race, no issues, no crashing, nothing like that. This man made it 30 minutes into the week. FP1, 30 minutes into FP1. I'm watching it and I see, first they show him going around the track and I'm watching him. He's a little squirrely. And I'm like, oh, Logan, you're making me nervous. Couple minutes later, you just see yellow flag second two or whatever it was pop up, and my heart dropped, and I was like, please, no.
And there and he then is.
The next shot is the car, the wheels off of the car. You see the number two, and I'm like, oh, no. 30 freaking minutes into the weekend, and my wild card was shot. After we finished recording, I was like, why did I say that? I shouldn't have done that
one. I felt the same way after quali, though, when frickin' Lance Stroll didn't make it out of Q1. My prediction was that Aston Martin would outscore Mercedes this weekend. And frickin' Lance Stroll can't even get out of Q1. Yep. WTF, mate.
We talked about it, man. Lance Stroll, he's himself is a wild card. Him and Logan Sargeant are both wild cards, and we were hedging our bets on both of those guys.
Yeah, they're definitely, we're swinging for the fences there, but I thought Aston Martin had Fernando Alonso had a great race, though. You know, he finished in front of both Mercedes. They brought a few small upgrades this weekend that didn't do anything crazy, but
back with the cat again.
Cat. But Aston Martin looked good, not great. They kind of looked similar to Mercedes, where Fernando Alonso was doing an awesome job extracting everything out of that car and just doing Alonso things. And for that, he got P6 while, you know, Lance Stroll was hanging out down in P12. But I think the biggest difference I wanted to bring up, and I'm kind of jumping ahead on the zeros and stuff like that with Mercedes, is I like the rhetoric coming out of Aston Martin, where they're like, hey, we're making progress. Like, it's all positive connotation. Like, we know we're not at the top, but that's okay. We're getting there, right? And we're making developments, and we're beating Mercedes, and we're competing with McLarens, and we're doing a really good job. And then all you hear the whole damn race from Mercedes is, oh, the car is awful. I don't know why it's so slow. We're so slow. It's all just such negative connotation that it's aggravating whenever their radio turns on at this point.
Right. And they've been that way for 2 years now.
They have. And it's so frustrating. I love watching James Vowles, you know, on his little things after the race, where he's like, hey, not the race weekend we wanted. We looked fast. We're competing in these areas. We're making progress. I love hearing that. Like, you listen to Lawrence Stroll, you listen to Aston Martin in general, we're making strides. All good stuff. You listen to Toto Wolff and, oh, the car is shit. I'm so sorry. Like, and you're just like, you're kind of just annoying at this point, guys.
Yeah, and it's the whole thing where, you know, all the other teams, you're talking about James Vowles and Aston Martin, like, they're taking accountability, and they're also being positive and upbeat. Negativity is just going to bring everybody down in that whole team, especially when you have somebody as influential as Lewis Hamilton. He was upset the whole weekend on the radio. He was not happy. There was, you know, it looked like it was going to be good. I think it was after quali or somewhere during Saturday, Lewis said that this is the best the car has felt all year.
Yep.
And then he got to the race and he said he had a ton of understeer and he was completely negative. Toto is always negative. And I think it's just bringing the whole team down. And it's, I don't see any improvement. We don't see it on track. We don't see it in their attitude or anything like that. I don't know. I feel like Mercedes is just kind of going down in flames.
Yeah, I remember last year talking about them and saying, comparing Aston Martin and Mercedes and saying, I don't see anybody out developing Mercedes. But
yeah,
I've taken my word back on that one, saying I think that Aston Martin might be able to. I think they've got a long road to hoe, but I see much more positivity and development and good things in their future than whatever it is that's happening over at Mercedes.
Oh, yeah. All they got to do is get that second seat going in Aston Martin, which I saw a lot of people like, oh, Lance Stroll had a great race. You see all the passes and all that he was making. Yeah, but Lance Stroll was also fighting with backmarkers in a car that's clearly the fourth or fifth fastest car on the track. And so for him to make all those passes, he should have been making those passes. Yeah. He shouldn't have been starting the race down in, what was he,
P16.
Like, you should not be going out in Q3 in one of the top five cars on the track.
Yeah.
And so for him, you know, for people to say that he was doing good by passing those cars, like, no, he was just getting close to where he was supposed to be to begin with.
I saw a thing on Motorsport, and we were talking about this before. We need to do like a driver market episode, but I saw a thing on Motorsport. They're talking about Carlos Sainz. Where is he going to go? The whole driver market itself. And they're like, you know, he'd be a good fit to be next to Lance Stroll in 2026 if, you know, if they decide not to go with Alonso. It's like, if you decide at this point not to go with Alonso, you are the bottom of the barrel and I will never root for you. If you stick with Lance Stroll and get rid of Fernando Alonso at this stage, like seriously.
Right. Yeah, that's, I don't know. I think he'd be great to be next to Fernando Alonso at Aston Martin.
That would be awesome. Super exciting. The two Spaniards would be,
that'd be awesome. It'd
be so much fun. But next to Lance Stroll, like really?
Yeah. And man, back on Aston Martin and Fernando Alonso, this guy is so incredible. When they talk about racecraft and race IQ and intelligence, when you're seeing, you know, he's using Oscar Piastri as like a DRS shield against George Russell. I love his interview afterwards. They're like, were you intentionally giving Oscar Piastri DRS? And he's like, oh, after Melbourne, I don't want to answer that. The FIA might disqualify me from the championship. It's like, not only is he like super smart, but now he's become so likable and just like so cheeky and all. Like, I enjoy watching him race. Thoroughly enjoy that.
Oh, I do too. It's a ton of fun. I thought McLaren in general, but Piastri and Norris really showed why we all like McLaren so much this weekend too. I thought they did awesome. You know, Norris got fifth behind the Ferraris. That's honestly the best he was going to get in that car, but had some great passes. Saw him on that 130R making passes several times. Like, I was really happy for how well they did.
Yeah, I think the only downfall with McLaren is, you know, when they decided to pit Norris along with Leclerc.
Yeah.
You know, there's a case to be made. Maybe leave him out a little bit longer and see what happens there. But, you know, other than that, I think they had a somewhat decent weekend. I think they're kind of starting to see that as of right now, that's kind of the plateau for their car. Hopefully they've got some more upgrades planned soon. But yeah, I think they had a solid weekend. No large errors from that team that I saw this weekend.
No, just good racing. Let's talk about Yuki Tsunoda. What a home showing. What a race. And I saw an offline thing in an interview. They were talking about him and how he said that when he, which race was it, where he ran down the inside of Danny Ric at the end and like,
I think was it Jeddah?
Might have been Jeddah. It was one of the very beginning ones. They said they had a real hard talk with him after that about how immature he's acting and how bad that looks and he needs to get his stuff straight. And this whole weekend he was positive. He seemed genuinely, you know, they did that one pit stop where like seven cars came in at once and he came out on top and he got on the radio immediately. It was like, thank you guys. Like he just sounded genuine. His head was down and man, what a race, what a weekend for him across the board. Q3 points. What an awesome job by Yuki. I was really happy for him.
Now, I'm really glad to see the progression that he's had over the years from when he first started and he was like the wild card, the hothead, and just like very inconsistent. As you saw in Drive to Survive, he always talked like he didn't like to work out and just didn't seem like he wanted to put the work in. And you could see the results of the hard work because now he's really come into his own and he's solidly, you know, in getting the most out of the car, you know. God bless him, because if it was on Danny's shoulders right now, I don't think he hasn't scored a point all year.
Nope.
And so, I mean, Yuki's the only one scoring points for that team, and he salvaged what he could out of this weekend in front of the home crowd, like he said, you know, and afterwards, you wouldn't have known that he was P10. You would have thought he won the race from how happy he was, how excited he was. Like, it was awesome to see that, and I'm super proud of this dude, man. He's really coming to his own.
He's a ton of fun to watch. Alpine might be looking to snipe him away just to get the weight savings.
Okay, Yuki. We need your tiny body in this car. Man, Alpine came out this weekend. Speaking of them, they came out talking about how they were bringing an upgrade and it was, you know, slightly, they shaved some weight off of the car. And I remember Pierre Gasly saying, he's like, don't get too excited, basically. Yeah. Like, we don't know what it's going to do. And boy, it didn't do much. That was terrible. What a terrible outing again for Alpine.
Yeah, and then they crashed into each other lightly. They were rubbing, swapping paint.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have any paint on that car, so they were swapping some carbon with some rubber. Yeah, it was. I didn't even put them on my zeros list because it's just beating a dead horse at this point. Like,
I did the same. I was like, I've had them on my zeros almost every race so far. It's like, it's just getting old now.
I'm just beating a dead horse. So, but yeah, as per, really rough for Alpine, which kind of honestly brings me a little bit of joy.
I don't like to see it for Pierre, but Ocon, he can kick rocks.
Let's do our heroes and zeros. We've basically already done them.
All right,
you gonna go first?
Let's see. Yes, sir. I'll start off with my zeros, and I think we might, I'm sure we'll have some overlap. My first zero, man, I don't know how to. Okay, my first zero, I'm gonna go with Logan Sargeant. I think he might have put the nail in the coffin this weekend.
Yeah.
He, for a team that we saw in Melbourne, is so strapped. They're trying to get the most that they can with what limited funds.
They didn't even bring an extra chassis to Japan.
They're not supposed to have another one until, I think, Miami is supposed to be the next one, right? So you got Logan Sargeant going out there. He got the repaired chassis, so he didn't even get his original chassis back.
Do you blame him?
No. And so I wonder sometimes, maybe at what point does James Vowles say, you know what, let's just finish the season with one driver, and just because Logan's costing him money every
track and not scoring.
Yeah, exactly. He's not, there's getting no benefit. They're only getting the burden of having to fix the car and pay for all these repairs. Not to say that Alex is doing much better. Alex has crashed both past two weekends, whether Japan was his fault or not, still happened. Logan got the upgrades on his car this weekend, ruined those on FP1. They didn't even get to, you know, get any good testing out of him for that. And so I think Logan Sargeant, and then during the race, he was actually doing decently during the race until he remembered who he was and decided just to right off into the dirt.
Go get it powdered up.
Yeah. Luckily he didn't put it into the wall then too, but yeah, Logan Sargeant, much as I wanted to root for the guy, I think it's time.
He got to go.
I think it's time.
Yeah.
My other one, this one hurts. I got to go with Danny, man.
It's just unlucky, but not what you needed, man.
I know. You need a clean weekend. You were on for a good one. And I know in the post-race he was talking about, he saw the Aston Martin on his inside, and I guess he fixated on that and didn't even think about the outside. He's got too much experience to be making mistakes like that. That's a Logan Sargeant mistake that he made. And he paid for it. So at a time that he didn't need it. And so Danny's my next one. My third zero. I don't know. I'm going to go with Stake on this one. The fact that the announcers or the commentators are basically applauding a 5-second pit stop because you didn't mess it up. I don't think that's a win in my book.
I was kind of amazed at their commentary. I don't remember exactly what they said, but I was like, wow, you just hardcore called out Sauber for a second.
it's like, oh, you did it, little buddy. Good job. It's like, no, that shouldn't be something that we applaud.
Yeah.
I know they're still working on their issues, and they had the gearbox issue again, this time a lot worse because Joe obviously had to retire the car pretty early on in the race. So again, another scoreless weekend for Stake. So
yeah,
zero.
We got a little bit of overlap. I've got Sauber on mine. Instead of just picking on Logan, I put Williams as a whole. Between Albon crashing, Logan Sargeant basically not being an F1 driver. It's just, how can you expect that team to continue development when they don't even get laps in on their cars at this point? Just that's hard. And you could tell at the, usually James Vowles on his post race things is very pleasant, upbeat. And he's like, we got this, you know, we got some development in this area. We got some good data here. We're going to keep on trucking. You could tell on this one, he was just like, I'm tired of this crap.
He actually said it. And he said that, since they're having to spend so much money on repairs for these cars, it's really stunting their development for the rest of the year. So he's like, there's upgrades that we want to bring that we're not going to be able to make and develop now because we have to keep replacing parts.
Yeah.
And so this is going to have long-term effects on that team. That's why I think that, you know, they're definitely not going to re-sign Logan.
No. My last one, and I hit it up earlier, Mercedes. I was thinking about this and I was like, honestly, not even that bad of a showing. Like double points for the team. You could come out of this and be like, good weekend. We could have made up a few more points, but we got a ton of development, a ton of good data. Good weekend for us. We'll pick it up next time. Instead, it's just annoying to listen to him. I went and looked for Toto Wolff's like after race interview, and he was just so downtrodden and just, I was like, God, I don't even enjoy watching you people right now. It's so aggravating.
It's like a dark cloud just following that team.
Yeah, it is. And I want them. It's such an easy fix. I'm not asking you to fix the car. I'm asking you to be positive, upbeat. And like, come on, y'all are Mercedes. Y'all are double points every time. Y'all are fighting for P3 and the constructors. Like, sure, it's not where you want to be, but it's not where anybody wants to be. So Come on, pick it up a little bit.
All right, moving right on to the heroes now. Why don't you go ahead and start off with your heroes?
Yuki Tsunoda, we already hit that one. Awesome showing from him. He absolutely deserves some kudos there. Carlos Sainz, man. I'm loving watching the spicy pepper do what he does and be on the podium again. He's been on the podium in every single race he's done this, that he's been in this season so far. So I really want to shout out Carlos Sainz. And this one's kind of a foregone conclusion, but I want to point it out. Red Bull and Perez. Red Bull established their dominance this weekend. There's been a lot of back and forth of, ooh, I think Ferrari's going to compete. I think that, you know, maybe they didn't go the full right direction with the RB20. No, they did. It's they did. 1-2 finish, 20 seconds ahead of the next people. Red Bull did it. And I thought Perez had a great weekend. Really kind of making it where, hey man, if you can keep this up, people are going to love you. You're going to get to stay at Red Bull, but you got to keep this up. Do more of these weekends. It was awesome.
Yep. Just keep doing what you're doing. All right. So I have, we have some overlap, so I'm going to go with some of my alternates, which I think are equally as good. My first one, I want to go with Alonso.
Yeah.
Just because I'm such an Alonso fan right now. I love watching this guy. His racecraft is awesome. He's entertaining. I just like watching Alonso. So he's my first hero on this. My second two are going to be a little bit of unorthodox.
Okay.
I think that the fans that sat at turn one right there, that's probably one of the best places to sit in F1, at least from the first part of the season. You get to see so much action right there at turn one in Suzuka. That would be a dream to go sit there.
And you could hear them cheering.
Oh, yeah. Just the Japanese fans in general, man, they are so passionate. And they all their crazy hats and everything. Yes. I want to go there and just feel that vibe in that environment one time.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, my last hero. And I feel like these people need it. They need a vacation. They need to be treated very well and pampered. I'm going to go with the Williams mechanics.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, my God. The most overworked.
I'm tired, boss.
Exactly. The most overworked people in Formula One. Every time they sit down in that garage and the weekend starts, they probably are like, just please bring it back together. And during these next 2 weeks before China, hopefully they get to have a nice vacation. They don't have to pick up any wrenches or anything like that. Just put their feet up and enjoy their time off.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Because, I know. This clearly. And that was the other thing. James was saying, if there's an issue with Alex's chassis, which hopefully there isn't, it didn't seem like that bad of an impact. But if there is, they could potentially not have a car for China and not have
a car for Logan Sargeant in China.
Oh, do you think they'd do it again?
Yes, I 100% think they'd do it again. I would shame them if they didn't do it again.
I know, right? Man. But yeah, Williams Mechanics, you guys are doing a great job. Keep up the good work.
We're rooting for you guys.
there is light at the end of the tunnel, I hope. It's probably just the train, but
all right, let's get through these predictions.
All right, cool.
I've got my Excel spreadsheet pulled up.
Here we go. All right, well, for pole, I think we both went with the automatic go, which
Max.
Is Maximum.
Max, Verstappen. Max, super max. Yep. 1 point.
All right. P3.
I had Norris.
I had Lando. Oh, we both had Lando Norris. You're right.
It's a nope.
Missed that one.
P2, I had Sainz. I believe you had Sainz too and changed it to Leclerc. It was also wrong. But we both picked up P1.
All right. So no change.
No change.
Oh, our wild cards, which we already discussed, which we both blew those. I got Logan Sargeant flawless weekend.
Yeah.
Yours, Aston Martin beating Mercedes in points.
Tied him in points. He tied them in points.
Mm.
Alonso alone tied Mercedes in points. Why didn't do like the greater than or equal to sign? That's what I should have gone with. So we each got 2 points, which leaves us at, I'm at 11 total points and you're at 9.
All right.
Well, still close. There's still a chance.
There is still a chance. All right. So we have a week off. Then we go to China for our first sprint weekend of the season, which we actually got 2 sprints in a row, China and Miami.
And first time we were back in China since 2019. China's got a weird track.
It's been a while. I don't even remember this track.
It's going to be the first time on this track with the new generation of cars. So everybody's going to be figuring out their stuff, which will be interesting.
That's pretty cool. I'm excited for this one. This one legitimately could be a complete wild card of a race.
Yep. Well, right, kind of behind Max. It could be crazy behind Max.
True. That's right. All right. Well, we'll be back later on this week with a driver market update. Other than that, if you like this podcast, make sure to leave us a rating and review. Whatever platform you're listening to us on, make sure you follow the show on that platform. It really helps us out. And while you're at it, follow us at Formula_America on Instagram. But I think that's going to be it for this one. Dylan, you got anything else?
That's all I got.
All right. Well, on that note,
stay classy, America.
We'll see you next time.